Now it's time for Paul's in Politics with the Boston Herald's Dave Wedge on Monday Night Talk on 95.9 WATD.
Sitting in with me, my co-host Joe Rossi had to kind of fly the coop, and Craig Pina has decided to kind of hang out as we speak with probably one of the best reporters in the Boston area, none other than Dave Wedge, who is also a devout hockey fan as well. Dave, how are you?
I am. Good to talk to you. Yes, how are you doing, Craig?
Very well, Dave. Hey, you have some pretty cool bumper music here. I like that.
Two fine Brockton gentlemen. I like that. You know, we're taking for the airwaves.
I have to say, Dave, it's been a night of Dave's, because we had Dave Andelman on to talk about Cape Cod Cafe. Did you know that they're about to sell their 10...
Yeah, the Million Pizza Wednesday, right?
Yeah, a particular chef is they're honoring the guy who made the 10th million pizza.
It's pretty amazing. I mean, I've probably eaten about 10,000 myself.
It's about 30,000 between the three of us.
Yeah, easily.
Yeah, no, I literally go there at least once a month these days. I bring it back all the time, because it's just, you know, I live in Boston now, and there's just no way to get pizza like that in Boston.
Now, Dave Andelman was quick to cue our audience here in we're in Marshfield, but the South Shore, that the best way to get pizza is to get a pepperoni pizza, but get the edges burnt, and you got to ask for it specifically. Is that something that you get, Dave?
We order the burnt edges a lot at the Cod, or crispy. You know, you can order it either way. I usually go with the pig and pine at the Cod, the ham and pineapple.
Very nice, the Hawaiian.
It's a good one. Oh, it's a good one.
I love the Hawaiian.
And it's so well done there. You get it well done, and it's perfect. Yeah. The other one, a good friend of mine turned me on to a couple of years ago was the, they have a shrimp scampi pizza there that's out of this world.
Wow.
It's really good. And I would never think to get that, but he was like, dude, you got to try this. And I did, and it was awesome.
Oh, they have a lot of combinations that you'd never ever thought of, and they turn out to be fantastic.
Yeah, the linguice is great. They just have the best pizza. I love it. I'm starving. I haven't had dinner, guys. What are you doing to me?
Sorry about that. Dave, we definitely apologize, and we thank you for helping us close out the show.
Sure.
We have a couple of things that we can talk about. First and foremost, as you heard us kind of closing out the interview with Dave Gosher, I got to touch on your sports side. Give me your thoughts about the Boston Bruins and the deal that they did to the Penguins in four.
Yeah, well, they're on fire, you know, and they, you know, it's much very similar to the 2011 run, where they've got, you know, their goalie is just red hot. You know, to hold the Penguins to two goals throughout the series, that's ridiculous. The highest scoring team in the league, and you know, their defense is just playing unbelievable, and they've got four lines, and that's the thing that a lot of, you know, casual hockey fans don't understand lines in hockey, but I played my whole life, and I actually still play. And, you know, the team with more players generally wins, you know. And if you've got four lines and that can all skate and compete with the other team's lines, you're going to win the game 8 out of 10 times, because you're just going to wear them down. And that's what the Bruins are doing. They're wearing them down. They have four solid lines that can just wear these teams down. And, you know, if you notice, Sidney Crosby was on the ice an awful lot, and Malkin, and he should be. But, you know, the Bruins' fourth line was out there every few shifts. You know, they got some decent playing time, and that just gives the Bruins' top lines an extra minute or two of rest, and allows them to be that much faster and that much stronger when they're out there for their shift. And so it's that's what I attribute it to, is the four lines. They're playing awesome.
Now, I have to say, is you are somewhat the Monday Night Talk hockey Nostradamus. I believe that you have in the past predicted whether the Celtics are going to go on or the Bruins are going to go on. Even if I've disagreed with you, how are you feeling their chances are going to be up against the Chicago Blackhawks, who, you know, this is a team that went the first 24 games that was able to earn a point and had the best record in the league.
You know, I would have said earlier in the playoffs, I you know, the way they were playing, I would have said Chicago would win this series in six, but I'm going to pick the Bruins in seven, because I just think they're the better team right now, and I just think they have their mojo going, just like they did in 11. They're playing with ridiculous confidence. I mean, Brad Marchand's just rifling the puck from all over the rink, and he's scoring. The defensemen are scoring at a ridiculous clip. You know, and like I said, I mean, that defense, like Chara, you just can't get around the guy. So I think the Bruins are going to win this series, and for all the reasons I said, I think the same thing will apply that applied to the Penguins, where the Bruins' four lines are just going to wear down those top Chicago lines. But I do have to just add a caveat that I won't be that surprised if things don't turn out well for the Bruins, because that top line for the Blackhawks, in my opinion, with Taze and Kane, is the best line in hockey.
And they're fast too. And that was the biggest problem they had with Toronto, is they had some speed. Their forwards had speed, and that was the one thing that I think gave the Bruins problems at first.
I have a lot of
And the Kings are good. I mean, they beat the Kings handily, and Jonathan Quick was playing as good, if not better, than Tuukka Rask, and they beat him. So it's going to be a tough series, but I think in the end, I think the Bruins' grit and determination and depth will win, and I think the Bruins will win it in seven.
Well, I agree with depth. Depth is the key, and nobody thought they could get by Crosby, Malkin, and Ginla. So I think you'll be looking at the Bruins in six.
Okay,
six.
I'm feeling six too.
It's going to be a great. It's going to be a lot of fun to watch.
Okay, let's get to some other things that are going on. We spoke with Senator Bob Hedlund earlier, get his thoughts as he had a chance to work and be around. Former Governor Paul Cellucci, give me your thoughts on the passing of Governor Cellucci.
Yeah, you know, I was real sad to see that. I was, you know, I wouldn't say I was a close friend of his, but I talked to him semi-regularly, especially since after he left office. But even when he was ambassador to Canada, I would talk to him occasionally for different stories that I did, and he was always very, very open and reachable and candid and very smart guy, and I think he just had a good sense of Massachusetts. You know, he really knew what Massachusetts was about. He's a local guy from Hudson. He wasn't a carpetbagger that flew in here from some other state to hold office. And he had a heck of a career, and he was a heck of a guy. And I was real sad to hear him when he announced that he was sick. And I did talk to him a couple times after he was sick, and you know, he was same old guy that I knew when I talked to him, and I was pretty shocked to hear that he passed away, and I was sad. You know, I felt really bad. It's a horrible disease, and ultimately his legacy is going to be what a lot of people have been talking about, that he raised $2 million for ALS research, and we had that in the Herald today, where the UMass Medical Center is saying that money is going to do a lot of good to help people with this horrible disease. So hopefully that's his legacy, that maybe some other people can extend their lives or even save their lives through the work that he did.
Not to put him in the same conversation, because he's still here with us, but do you take a look at Boston Man Tom Menino and all the health problems he's having and think that he could be someone who we lose down the road because he's having so many health issues right now?
Yeah, I do think about that a lot, and a lot of people that are close to the mayor think about that a lot. I don't like to think about it, because right. I like to think that the mayor's got a lot of healthy years left, but it's hard not to with all the ailments that he's had. He has had cancer. He's had cancerous tumors removed, and that said, from everyone I talk to, they seem to think that the mayor is just undergoing a series of unfortunate setbacks, and that there's no bigger ailment here that's undiagnosed. And I hope that's the case, because he's a great guy, and he's still a relatively young guy. He's only 70, and I like him a lot personally. I think the mayor is a great person, and I he's going to have a nice victory lap here at the end of the year, and hopefully finish off some great things for the city and leave the city in good hands.
Well, we can just hope it's just the setbacks are caused by the stresses of the job. He's the longest serving mayor in the city of Boston, and hopefully without the stress of the job, he'll be without those setbacks.
Yeah, I hope you're right. But the question is, will he slow down? Anyone that knows him knows that he doesn't like to sit around. And he was out the other day at the Pride Parade. He loves that. And those are his people, and he wanted to be out there and show support. The guy just had surgery last week. He should probably be in bed. But it's what he does. That's what we love about him, right?
Mm. Well, no. From what I'm understanding there are a number of people who are lining up to be the next mayor of Boston. How many people could we see on the ballot?
Well, last I counted, I think there's like 16 or something. Oh, might be as high as 19, but I'm not 100% sure what the actual confirmed number is. But you know, you got to divide those into tiers. You know, you have some people that are running that are, you know, like Charles Yancey's running, but he's also running for a city council seat again.
But you also you also got David Portnoy there, the guy.
Yeah, you got David Portnoy, and he's got enough signatures to get on the ballot. And he's going to have some fun and make some noise, but he's promoting his website. That's what he's doing, you know. And you know, that said, I mean, the guy might get more votes than some other people that are legitimate candidates. He might surprise some people.
So who would you say are the top tier?
Well, I think the top tier, you have to look at, obviously, you know, Marty Walsh seems to be one of the top candidates right now, and Dan Conley.
Yep.
And then the city council is John Conley, Mike Ross, Felix Arroyo, Rob Consalvo. Those are the top, what's that, five, six?
Yep.
And then after that, the next tier, I would put kind of wild cards, because you don't know where they're going to be. You've got Charlotte Golar Ritchie, who was a former aide to the governor, and Tamir Menino. You've got Boston School Committee member John Barrows, and then you've got a community activist from Dorchester named Bill Walczak. And Charlotte Golar Ritchie is the one that there's a lot of buzz about. They, you know, people think she might be the quote-unquote Deval Patrick type candidate that takes off. And a lot of people tell me if she manages to somehow get enough votes to get into the final, where it's her facing off with one other person, that she could really catch fire. And you know, you have the whole gender ethnicity thing come into play, where, you know, she'd be the first woman mayor in Boston, she'd be the first black mayor, so all that stuff would come into play. So it's really going to be a pretty crazy race to the finish here in September and November.
It was such a huge field, anything can happen, really. It'll be exciting to see what happens.
Absolutely. Someone may drop out, you never know.
And do you know, I don't know if you know this, Dave, this will probably be one of the closing things that I'll say, is Mr. Pina, the gentleman that you're talking to, is actually a candidate for council at large.
That's wonderful to hear. Craig's a great guy. We've been friends for a lot of years, and I've always known he had a bright political future. I wish you luck, Craig.
Thank you very much, Dave, and I hope to see you at some of my events.
Well, we've got our 25th reunion coming up in November, Craig.
That's right,
we've
got
to be there, buddy.
Long votes.
Dave, we're off, but we'll definitely talk to you in a couple of weeks.
All right, guys, have a good night.
You got it. That's another Monday Night Talk in the Books. Have a great one.